path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo! Make it quick.
Make it quick, kids.
That's what Zuko said.
Go.
Make it quick. I'm sick of your crap. We're running behind. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Very, very good. Yeah. Everything's good. My mom's
How's she feeling?
And she's,
she had what thing?
She had surgery.
She did. When was that?
Today.
Oh, nice. This morning?
And it went, and it went...
swimmingly?
Well, first of all, I thought that there was, if I'm being honest, I wouldn't have said this beforehand, but it'd been delayed once. I thought there was like maybe a 20% chance that it would even happen.
Right.
Just based on lots of things, but I, of course, wasn't going to say that, and so I was happy that it happened, and then when it was all said and done, it went even better than they thought.
Oh, good.
So, like, major things that I won't get into because it's her private life,
sure.
But some stuff that she was expecting to have to live with afterwards.
Oh, that didn't happen?
It didn't happen, that they
what
were able
told
to
me
avoid.
About?
I probably told you about it. Yeah,
nice.
I'm sure I told you about it. So,
well, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a big deal. So,
well, tell her congratulations.
I will. So,
that I'm happy for.
That just means that I get one day.
And tell her that she's in my thoughts.
I get one day.
I said she's in my thoughts.
Until you went and did that.
I just said she's in my thoughts.
No, and then you went.
I winked, like.
You went and you did anything with your mother. So, one day.
Yeah, tell her, I'm happy for her. She's in my thoughts.
I think she's earned a day of not having to worry about whether. Plus, she could be in the hospital right now. They push her into a room to recover and, like, oh, do you want us to put something on? She's like, well, my son's on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think he's on the rock station. Could you turn that on?
Mm-hmm. She doesn't need
to hear that.
She's in my thoughts.
Yeah. Mine too. So, yeah. Very good. Very good. How's your mom?
She's good, I guess. You probably talk to her more than I do.
Probably, yeah. She's a heavy texter, but I like that about her. I do. That was texting. There was a time when texting was something young people did, and then your parents, just like the social media, and then your parents forgot to do it. And then some really take off with it, and your mom is one of those. Lots of stickers, lots of emojis. A lot of times when she sends the stickers, I think, you probably could have sent an emoji or nothing at all, but I think she just likes the stickers, or maybe she has a hard time. Maybe I think
she
she's looking for gifts.
Yeah.
I think she's looking for gifts sometimes, and she ends up sending the stickers.
I think she's just mixing it up, trying to keep you, guessing.
Well, there are definitely times she goes, "How'd you do that?" I'm like, "Oh, I shouldn't have even sent it because now I gotta explain this whole thing to her." But she's good. She's plenty good at
more
this.
More pictures of your wiener, and you have to explain to her how you did it.
Well, animated. how do you get it to move like that? I'm like, it's a whole thing. I just I don't know how to explain it. It's like asking someone, what does it feel like to breathe? I don't know. So, how do you do that? What muscle is it? I don't know. It's just there, right?
Yeah, well, it's impressive nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why it's impressive to the ladies.
Yeah.
And to your mother. But,
well, of course. She's never seen anything like that before.
She impresses me, too. Those yoga pants are, when you see them for sale on the dummy... You don't necessarily think a woman of her age, and then when you see her, you're like, wow,
she should be
the model for him.
Yeah.
You can tell she works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's doing good. So, Cohen, how about your mom? Oh, she's good? Yeah? Everything's good with her?
She's having surgery tomorrow.
Oh!
What kind of surgery?
This, like, shoulder surgery.
Boob job. That's what that code is code for. She's having... He already told me that there was...
What's wrong with her shoulder?
She got her other one replaced, like, a couple of years ago. Now she's doing... The other one.
One was a little bigger than the other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was from this.
No.
Well, okay. That's the, carpal tunnel or whatever separation. There's not much they can do for that. Just keep doing what you're doing, Mom. Just keep doing what you're doing.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
What's going on, big dog?
Nothing. Big dog. You sound like Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, big dog. I guess I don't know how to do his voice.
You know how to do Kermit.
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, here. People say he sounds like Kermit, right?
Hello, Kermit the Frog here.
That is a good Mahomes.
Hello, Patrick Mahomes here. Hey, big dog. Hey, good game, big dog. Way to go, dog. Hey, good game, big dog.
Way to go, dog. Nailed it.
Way to go, dog. Good game, dog.
Now add a little gravel to it.
But good game, dog.
You gotta say, like, boom. Yeah, we're not done yet. We got one game left.
We're not done yet. We got one game left.
I think I overdid it there.
Yeah, a little bit over.
Good game, dog. Hey, you. Yeah, good game, dog.
I'll have to work on that. I've never.
That's pretty good.
Never really attempted it. But I did watch that. What was that? Was it just called Quarterback? What was the documentary that Netflix did?
Quarterback.
And watching him, he says dog a lot. He calls people dog a lot, and he just has that. He does kind of have a kink. It doesn't bother me at all. He sounds exactly like basically everybody I am friends with and grew up with. It's just, it's you know, he's this guy who's worth $1 trillion, and some calling him the greatest football player of all time, and you're watching him, and you're like, this guy talks and acts like my friends. You know what I mean? Just seems like a totally normal guy, except he built this giant castle.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Law of supply and demand, dog.
Yeah, that's right, dog. That's right. You think a guy like him...
I saw a thing yesterday, it was a stat, just baseball, but you're talking about how much money he made. Juan Soto's contract with the Yankees, right?
Okay.
What he's making with the Yankees, his new contract, are the Mets, whoever he signed with.
The Mets.
Doesn't matter, right?
He signed with the Mets.
But whoever he signed his new contract with, he was with the Yankees last year. The new one now is more than Tom Brady and LeBron James made in their career.
Well, it's crazy,
in their career.
Crazy how much, how quickly and how much those numbers have skyrocketed.
Right.
Brady is a great example.
Right.
But if you go back and look at his early contracts.
But still, in their career.
In their careers. I mean, that is totally crazy.
But combined.
It's like every year
that's
now.
That's them combined.
I get it.
That's
it's unreal. Insane. It's insane. But you look at every year now, you've got a, and I know baseball pays more, but you got a quarterback who sets a new record. Someone is getting the biggest deal. Stafford got the biggest deal, and then it's every year somebody gets the biggest deal. And you
How
think
does baseball pay more when it's objectively like a much smaller sport?
More games.
Okay,
so I mean that's part of it.
So more revenue streams.
More revenue streams are coming in.
Yeah.
So it's always been confusing.
You think like 80,000 people at this game, but there's 16 of them.
Yeah, but think about it. If you had
Ohtani's was ridiculous,
right? But say if you have 8 home games. And say at 60,000 people each, that's 240,000 people. If you have 80 games at 20,000 people, 30,000 people, right?
Okay.
The money starts to even out a little bit. And then, of course, you know, you have teams like, you know, the Yankees who are putting in more people than that.
And they have, like, no cap,
they have
right?
their own TV deal. So now, right?
Not to mention the Yankees.
No cap in baseball?
And baseball does not have a salary cap.
Okay.
And the Yankees. I don't know if you call it intellectual property, whatever. Their trademarks, that logo, is
all of it.
So valuable. It's worn globally.
Right.
Even if people don't really know what baseball is, it's a universally recognized symbol. You see it everywhere you go.
Baseball hats, like all the merch.
That helps pay for some stuff. Now, as far as a team like the Royals, how does that work? Well, that's the big debate, right, about football and baseball. Should there be salary caps?
Should there salary cap. We don't have to get into it. It's way too small. I don't think there should be a salary cap. There should be a salary minimum. If you're going to own a baseball team, then you at least have to have $90 million on the books to pay players.
Okay.
You can't be saying, like, oh, it's a rebuilding year. We're only going to pay them $30 No. If you're going to own it, you got to put in this minimum amount. Now, the NFL does that. The NFL says you got a cap and a minimum. I think if Shohei's can pitch and throw,
I'm pretty
then
sure
pay him whatever he's worth.
They gave him more money than is printed than we have in this world.
Like Ohtani, actual cash? If he needed to get cash, let's get all the cash out of the banks.
They couldn't do it.
No, you're right. There would be
it's
another
just
great
all
depression.
They need to do. I don't love, and maybe it's my Detroit showing up in my pro-union, pro-worker, but I don't want anybody telling Juan Soto, this is all you can make. I don't like that at all. If the Mets are willing to pay him whatever they're willing to pay him, then he should be able to make it.
Oh, for sure.
But in order to keep baseball, and I don't really believe that. I mean, you know, that the salary cap. But everybody can argue about it, but at least a floor. You got to pay whatever that floor is. You know, you want to play baseball this season, you got to pay $90 million in salaries. That's it.
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I don't agree with you. I'll just play devil's advocate because, let's take a team like the Marlins, who for a long time their strategy was to, we're going to save a bunch of money for this many years, we'll spend nothing, and then after X number of years, we're going to spend a bunch of money and try and win a pennant. That wouldn't be an option, basically, anymore.
Right.
And is that
I'm not
going to
just let you tank four seasons in a row.
Yeah.
Because you're going to then pay free agents in the fifth year, if you do. Like, I'm not...
I don't know. You'd have to go back and look. I don't know how long that was their strategy.
What's the rationale? Like, just for the fans? Like, you want it to be...
Competitive for the fans.
Okay, yeah, because there's always been a debate about baseball. We had so many walkouts here over the years, like when the Yankees came to town.
And the owners aren't allowed to say that anymore, because I don't think it's real. I don't think the owners could spend that money. The owners have money to spend. They just don't want to. So they'll say, like, oh, we're a small market team. We can't compete. Well, now, okay, you should be able to, because at $90 million, that's a competitive, you know, whatever number they throw out there.
Does MLB do a type of profit sharing with the...
Well, they have to pay money back in, and everybody gets some of it.
Okay.
So, like, if the Yankees make a certain amount of money, they kick it back in.
But, I mean, that money with the NFL comes from TV deals. I don't know what TV deals are worth in baseball.
Well, most of them. I mean, there are, like, the Sunday Night Baseball, so most of them are local.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it yourself. So, a team like New York, they're getting big money for the Yankees.
Right. I'm saying, like, for the NFL, they get all this money from the networks because they want to carry these games, and then that money goes back to owners. Some of it goes back to those owners, and it's part of how the NFL generates a lot of revenue. I didn't know how that works with baseball. I mean, because you could say, yeah, in baseball, they play more games, so they should make more money. But you could also say, well, you know, yeah, well, I work 7 days a week, and I don't make that much money. So is it...
Yeah, well, I don't like that argument.
No, I think that people confuse it. It's that, no, you're looking at that stadium and going, okay, there's X number of people here, but you got to remember that they're doing it almost every day.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, you may see 75,000 people at the NFL stadium that weekend, but... The MLB is spreading out those ticket sales over a lot more games. And then on top of that, you have the merchandise. I wonder what the single biggest source of revenue is, if it is ticket sales for baseball.
Oh, I would think merch, but...
You think selling merch?
I would think, but I don't know that to be true.
Like, for the Yankees, I would assume that their merchandise is worth more than their actual ticket sales. Just if I had to guess, and it's a
but
guess.
But then you're talking about those Yankee games are full. You know, we're kind of looking through it through a... lens of Royals games, where you can go sometimes there's 10,000 people out there. You know, that's not every stadium. Boston's packed. New York's packed.
I'm trying to consider that. I'm just
so now you're like, all right, well, where'd they get all the money? Well, they're having 82 games, and they're putting 40, 50,000 people in the stadium, all 82 of those games, plus playoff games.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I'm sure, you know what? Sokin always says there's no way to know. I'll bet in this instance there probably is a way to know. I'll bet we could probably I think that the single biggest source of revenue is for baseball, but, you know, I'm losing interest. Although, well, you know what I do find interesting is when cities have a football team and a baseball team and they say, this city is a baseball town or this city is a football town. You know, and I always wonder, how does that happen? I mean, it's... I can... make a educated guess that has something to do with the history of the team and them being really good at some point in their history, and that was passed down to, you know, that love of that team was passed down to those kids and to those grandkids, and so it just stays a baseball town. But people talk about baseball struggling and all these changes that baseball, and baseball does make changes. They introduced new rules last season trying to make the game go faster. So you hear those complaints.
TV's
still the number one way, huh?
Baseball's single biggest source of revenue is media rights, particularly television and streaming. National TV contracts with networks ESPN, Fox, and TBS, along with local broadcasting rights that teams negotiate individually, bring in billions of dollars. For example, MLB's national media deals alone, so this is just their national ones, not what the guys do locally, that's over $1.8 billion per year.
Well, that's amazing, because I can't watch the games.
Right.
I mean, I've heard there's a way if I... sign up for something.
The Yankees and the Dodgers both have hundreds of millions of dollars on top of that with their local broadcaster.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for making baseball competitive, and I understand the grievances of these teams dominate, they're always good. Right. But I do think someone could make that devil's advocate argument if there was any truth to it, like the Marlins, if that had been their strategy for a long time, and they said, hey, for a market our size, we actually ended up in the playoffs, more often than other teams our size, because of the strategy where we tanked for 2 or 3 years. And then, so, you know, and I'm not saying it. I don't know that that's actually how it worked out. I know that that was a, actually, I don't even know that was strategy. That's just what everyone always said. That was their strategy.
For sure.
You could tell me, like, that's just a rumor, and okay.
But just think if they pay the players.
Yeah.
I mean, if they played their players, the people who played on the Marlins, like, if you go back and look at it, it's like, I don't even, you know, but it's Miguel Cabrera and Stanton and Pudge. I mean, the list, Yelich, like, the list of players that came up through the Marlins is staggering, you know, but they didn't want to pay them.
Yeah, Royals fans have seen that a few times over the years, too. You see those guys come and go, and it does feel like that has changed, though. That's not just a perception, right, that something has changed, and I know ownership has changed more than once, but it does feel like the culture of the Royals has changed a lot since I was a kid.
Well, it feels like they're getting players.
It feels like they want to win as opposed to just, you know, let's not get too crazy.
Right.
We'll make sure we got a ballpark for you
guys.
There's
probably a lot that goes into it. They want a stadium.
Right. Now they want a stadium.
You know, so they want to win.
True.
Bring in crowds.
But even 10, you know, however many years it's been now, 10 years ago, that was, and you could just say, well, that was lightning in a bottle, and maybe it was. But it does feel like there's a culture here. It also feels like that, those seasons 10, 11 years ago, created a lot of baseball fans in this town and helped it to become, I'm not saying this city will ever be a baseball town over football. It'll always be a football town. But it did help us become more of a baseball town.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Winning brings it people helps. Like to root for winners.
It helps.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
We're going to do the news coming up here. I mean, there's some big news today.
There
was a plane crash today. But we were talking
today?
About...
it was yesterday. Was
well, last night, yeah. Okay. We were talking about salaries in sports and how quickly they go up. I was trying to figure out like who the highest paid... It seemed, maybe I'm just not good at internet, because it seems like this should be easier to do. But I wanted to see, like, you know, every time the record was broken for, oh, this is the biggest contract, throughout the years in the NFL. I found a lot of stuff like, here's what the average player made in this decade or whatever. But it is still pretty eye-opening to just look, if you look at a relatively short amount of time and go, here's each person breaking the record, and I know because I'm old enough that this wasn't that long ago. So you go, Trent Williams made $140.6 million. Von Miller made $144.5 million. Kirk Cousins, $161.7 million. Right? These are just some of the highest paid players. And this was written, I think, maybe in 2023. Alex Smith, $189 million. Right? Big numbers, but also we're talking about, you know, Alex Smith. I think when I saw Stafford's, maybe his, when he broke the record, was 160 or something. I don't remember.
Okay.
But anyhow, I said, so just for and giggles, what was Joe Montana's biggest contract? Because, you know, who's one of the greatest?
Right.
Okay, Joe Montana, what was his biggest contract? And the results are in. What was it, Snowcone?
It was a 4-year, $13
million. $13 million deal with the San Francisco 49ers, and then he got a $10 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs for 3 years. Think about that. Joe Montana, a $13 million deal and a $10 million deal. Those were his biggest contracts, with the $13 million obviously being the single biggest. And now we've moved on to, like, Kyler Murray or whatever, making $200, whatever it is.
Dak Prescott,
right, at the time that Dak signed, didn't he break the record?
I think he did.
I think when Dak signed at the time, it was...
Well, I just looked it up just to kind of see, like, okay, and Dan Marino played 17 years, and his total contract earnings were $51
million. Yeah.
$51 million over 17 years.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, I think some guys get paid more than a game.
That ain't much.
Yeah.
I mean, Mahomes is $450 million, according to this thing I'm looking at. Joe Burrow, $275 million.
Dak Prescott got $240 for 4 years, which includes $231 guaranteed.
I think he's on here. Justin Herbert, $262. Lamar Jackson, $260. Josh Allen, $258. Jalen Hurts, $255. Russell Wilson, $242. Kyler Murray, there he is, $230. Deshaun Watson, $230 million. I've looked at some of these lists now. There's Dak, $160 million. That was good through 2024, whenever he signed that. $160 million, think about that. That's how much that has jumped in just that short amount of time. So
yeah, Dak Prescott gets $3.5 million a game.
He's not very good.
To miss the playoffs.
I mean, he's not the worst quarterback, but he's not very good.
Yeah, you know, locked into that for a while.
Certainly not that. Certainly not that, you know, excels when it matters.
But the thing is, like, that's what, I mean, I remember arguing with Nick Wright when Stafford broke the record with the Lions. And he was like, they can't pay him that much. I'm like, they
have to.
You have to. If you have a good quarterback, a better-than-average quarterback, a great quarterback, no, maybe he's not Mahomes, maybe he's not Allen, but if you don't pay him, then he's going to go somewhere else.
Someone will pay
him.
And
then you're going to have to draft somebody. And
that's how Alex Smith ends up on this
better often than not, that person's not going to be very good. Most quarterbacks drafted don't work out. Okay, but if you do happen to get the one that is really good, then in 4 years you're going to pay him more than what you paid Stafford.
Yeah.
So you're kind of stuck. Like, what are you going to do if you're the Cowboys? You don't pay Dak, he leaves, and then what? You go through, like, the Bears and 4 or 5 quarterbacks that don't work out, and then finally you draft him. Well, at that point, you're going to have to pay him more than what you paid Dak. So pay the man.
Yeah. Jim Kelly, $2.2 million.
A year?
I'm looking at this sport track thing, and it's breaking it down. It says Joe Montana, $4.1 million, which I'm guessing this would be, it would have to be for a year based on what Snow Cone has told me about those two contracts. It says, as a 49er. So I'm just looking through each one of these guys to try and figure out if this is per season, which I'm assuming it is, whatever year this was. Because Dan Marino's on here at $1.8 million. Randall Cunningham. One of my faves and yours too, $1.8 million. Jim Kelly, $2.2 million. It's just interesting because you said Dak makes $3.7 million per game. I'm positive they're not talking about per game here. And I'm also positive that Jim Kelly was a better quarterback. And Boomer Esiason. And Randall Cunningham. And obviously Dan Marino. All right, we're going
to
do the news.
Juan Soto makes $315,000 a year to play a baseball game.
Yeah.
Or a day. A game.
I knew what you meant. A game.
Yeah.
It's a long game.
$315,000.
Yeah. Because if they don't pay him, someone else
will. He plays 162 games a year.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty sweet.
And he's going to get that for 15 years, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And Mahomes, he got drafted by the...
$765 million
Tigers,
he
right?
got, man.
Mahomes could have played baseball.
He could have. There's so much money in baseball.
But, you know, I don't know. The odds that he would have made as much money as he does in the NFL, the odds that he would... become who he's become in the NFL, obviously like a trillion to one.
Oh, right? So but this year, if Juan Soto plays because of the upfront bonus money, he'll get $2 million a game.
Wow.
And then it'll go to $318,000 next year.
All those games. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
The news. Well, the first tragedy, disaster under Trump's new administration. There was a plane crash in D.C. last night. A plane flying out of Wichita.
I didn't see the video.
Wichita.
I saw you people talking about it. It looked like it was on purpose.
It's grainy.
Did it look like that?
If they said it looked like it was on purpose, then that would have to be a different video than the one I saw. The video I saw, you can just kind of see the lights of the two of them, and then you see a fireball, basically, and you see the plane going down into the Potomac. But it was an Army helicopter that crashed into a passenger plane. It was one of those regional jets. It's not actually American Airlines, it's American Eagle or whatever. Okay. You know, you've been on one of those smaller jets. And, you know, it started off last night, breaking news. Of course, it always does. They're going in there looking for survivors, trying to rescue people. If they can.
We are coming on the air with breaking news out of Washington. The FAA confirming an American Airlines regional jet has collided with a Black Hawk helicopter near Reagan National Airport. Emergency officials say they're coordinating a search and rescue operation in the Potomac River. The FAA says this American Airlines plane, which had left Kansas, collided in midair with that helicopter while on approach to a runway here at Reagan, DCA, as it's known locally.
They said people from the U.S. figure skating team was on there.
Oh, no.
You didn't hear that?
It wouldn't be.
No, I know. That's kind of what I thought. Right, like, but I was like, oh, that's certainly another element to the story. Because I saw they were interviewing people from the U.S. team. And I was like, why are they interviewing these people about the plane crash? And looked it up. And I guess there were some people that were on that plane. Turns out there were no survivors. When we were kids, what was that? Remember there was a plane crash in the Potomac when we were kids? It was a big jet that was a passenger, and people did survive. Not everybody, but didn't it like have trouble taking off, or maybe it hit another jet as it was taking off? Do you remember that? The footage of that big passenger jet, and it was in the Potomac, and it was. I remember it's like I want to say it was really cold and icy, but they did pull some people out of there, but I can't remember the circumstances of that. But when I saw it this morning, I was like, man, in the Potomac again. Anyhow, Trump has responded. He's got a new. National Transportation Secretary. This is their first big crisis they'll have to deal with. And he was, you know, he put out an official statement through the White House, and then he also put out a statement on Truth Social.
Just hours after that collision, in an official statement from the White House, President Trump thanked first responders, and about those on board, his statement read in part, "May God bless their souls." Then after midnight, the president posted on social media questioning how it happened. "It is a clear night. The lights on the plane were blazing. Why didn't the helicopter go up or down or turn? This is a bad situation that looks like it should have been prevented. Not good." He later followed up writing, "What a terrible night it has been."
It is kind of weird to see him say, "Not good."
DEI to blame?
What? Oh, okay,
oh,
I missed that.
Yeah, no,
I missed that.
Yeah, no, there is. Let me.
Oh, wow. Okay, I totally missed that. Man, I think the media would be all over that aspect of it. I guess this morning I just didn't see it. They were talking about it this morning?
Trump basically criticizes DEI and DC plane crash.
I'm trying to imagine a way in which he could...
I will tell you.
I'm trying to guess, but I just can't. Let's see.
President Donald Trump suggested without evidence that the crash may be linked to diversity, equity, and inclusion policies at the FAA. He accused Democrat former Presidents Biden and Obama of lowering hiring standards at the agency. Trump also announced the appointment of acting FAA administration Chris Russolo.
Okay. So these people shouldn't have been there. They were just DEI hires.
Trump blamed a number of people and factors of the crash, including diversity, equity, and inclusion, hiring price for air traffic controllers, the pilots of the Army helicopter, and his predecessors. Trump, who campaigned, claimed that he had been improving hiring practices in his first term, but Biden reversed it.
Well, I did see this is a job now. You got the new transportation secretary and the new secretary of defense. They both have to be involved because it involved that helicopter. I mean, I assume this is a, is this an air traffic control issue? Or is this, I don't know what the Army, do Army helicopters talk to the same air traffic control down there on the ground? They have to at least be aware that there are Army helicopters in the area, so I assume they talk to the same people on the ground. And we've had, in the last 12 months, certainly in the last 24 months, but just in the last 12 months, there have been numerous stories, including some with video of near misses, where there was some sort of confusion with air traffic or ground control, whatever, air traffic control, and planes almost collided or almost hit each other, you know, one trying to land while another one was taking off because someone screwed up which runway, and they keep saying, oops, they need to fix air traffic control. We've got a real problem. This could have been deadly, and there's been a lot of those in the last 12 months, and now we've got one that is real deadly because everybody on board died. So whatever it costs to pay air traffic controllers, however many they need, let's hire them. Let's have those people. Let's make sure that they're not working 18-hour shifts or whatever it is. I think it pays pretty well, as it should. And
I would think so.
Yeah, this is the first time we've had, they said, an accident in the United States since 2009, I think they said. So it's been a long time. 2009, I guess, who would have been president then? Obama. It was probably his fault, right? Because he would have been president then. Probably didn't know what he was doing. But whatever the case, hire those people. I'm already a little bit nervous flying. I don't
Reagan
like to get the plane
busted
taken
them, right?
I know.
He busted a union.
If you don't show up,
helping.
If you don't show up, you won't have a job. And, of course, there were a lot of deregulations over the years. Like, it's kind of like the vaccine thing. Like, planes are so safe. Why do we need all of these regulations? And all the airlines saying, we don't need all this stuff. We don't need all these regulations. Look at how safe we are. Look at our record. It speaks for itself.
Yeah, both.
It's like, yeah, exactly. A perfect example. And you go, well, right, but could it not be argued that the reason things have been
so safe is because of the regulations?
No. It's because we're good at what we're doing. Then you start to see regulations
maybe
decrease. You start to see more problems with
cutting
planes.
Corners.
Yeah. So I don't want to be on a plane thinking there's not enough air traffic controllers down there. Right. I don't like being on a plane thinking this airplane is from 1982 and they've just put new interior on it. But that's the world I got to live in because that's just the way it is. So at least let me think in those moments when I'm on an airplane, I'm already a little anxious that they got enough people down on the ground to get the job done, and that they know what they're doing, and that my pilot isn't 12 years old, you know, still in training. That would be nice.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm not getting on a plane if I bought the ticket.
Me neither.
I'm getting on the plane.
I can't keep it.
They're like, they don't have air traffic controllers. You're flying to Des Moines, but we just want to let you know they don't have air traffic controllers there, so we're going to land it on our own. I would not get off the plane.
Would you? Right? No.
I mean, that's it. I already bought the ticket.
And if
my luggage is in the thing, a pack, let's go.
I mean, as long as, if you're telling
your pilot's 10, I'd be like, well, did you guys, I was going to ask if you trained him, but you probably didn't, so let's just Get on with it, boys.
If he's confident and he tells me he can land it, oh, I can land this thing by sight. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not certified to, but I can definitely do it. If he's convincing, sure, I'll go for it. Today is day two of RFK's confirmation hearing to be Secretary, Trump's secretary. He's going to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services, right? And yesterday, boy, they lobbed a lot of stuff at him. He's said a lot of things over the years, and he had to be reminded of a lot of those things that he said. I didn't understand the late-term abortion thing. Like, when would he have said that? But I actually went back and watched an interview where he did say, like, yeah, there shouldn't be restrictions on late-term abortions. So I guess, you know, if these senators are going to ask these questions, they probably have some evidence that he's said these things. And today will be day two, but I don't know. Does it make any difference? Like, they're going to try – the Democrats and people who don't like him are going to try and show that, hey, this guy, he's not the guy.
Right.
But – does he have the votes or not? Don't they usually know before these things even get started?
I support the measles vaccine. I support the polio vaccine. I will do nothing as HHS secretary that makes it difficult or discourages people from taking either
Anybody who believes that ought to look at the measles book you wrote saying parents have been misled into believing that measles is a deadly disease. That's not true.
There was a lot of those where he would say something like, well, that's not what you wrote. I'll tell everybody to go back and look at
it. I've read somewhere that McConnell and Graham are against him?
You know what? My friend texted me and said McConnell was against him, but I
and Graham, I heard. Okay. So I don't know.
Is that enough?
Maybe they can, you know, twist their arms, whatever, however they do it.
Well, McConnell's out, isn't he?
Is he voting?
Is he?
Yeah. I had to look that up. It looked like he still votes.
Yeah. Okay, so his term wasn't up.
Because when my friend texted me and said that, I was like, well, I thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. No, I was like, is he done?
So his term isn't up, but he's not going to run again.
No, I think
he's already said that.
Yeah. So I'm sure somewhere someone has said whether or not RFK will have the votes. They usually do a little poll and go around and they figure it out. And then this whole thing is just kind of political theater. But, you know, I know you're the political
junkie.
His term
ends in 2027.
You're the political junkie. Do you have any interest in watching?
No, I'm staying out of it.
Well, do you have any interest in watching, like, Bernie Sanders question RFK about...
Not really.
He asked one question.
I'm sure the vote.
I'm just throwing anybody out.
I know, but Bernie Sanders asked one question. That was a part of a story yesterday, too. He asked one. I forget what it was.
Yeah. I mean, the votes are
there. Oh, do you think health care should be a right? I think that's what he asked.
Of course. That tracks. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do find RFK an entertaining figure.
Great.
He is quite entertaining. What, you don't find him entertaining?
Well,
I'm not saying that means that I want him to be that. Health and Human Services. I don't know what the Secretary of Health and Human Services does.
No, he's saying, like, well, he's entertaining,
I think it's
at least.
Largely a ceremonial position.
Give him the job. He's entertaining.
No, but I'm saying when it comes to watching this stuff on TV, political stuff, I do find him. I'm not generally the type who would want to sit and watch a confirmation hearing, but he's one of those guys where I'd find myself watching a few more clips than I usually would. But partially just because I'm curious what else they're going to say he has said in his past. It's also interesting for him to say, like, he's not against the measles vaccine and that he wants people to get their kids vaccinated. I wouldn't have guessed that. But then, of course, you got the senator saying, yeah, you wouldn't have guessed that because he's said just the opposite. So I don't know. Hey, you know what? Speaking of people getting sick and Health and Human Services and, boy, wish we had a better vaccine. The largest tuberculosis outbreak in American history in Kansas?
Yeah.
The largest in American history? I thought it was real bad in the Wild West, like Doc Holliday and all those people. I didn't know that this is the worst, and you can just get it from being around
somebody
who has it for too long, hang out with them. Now, you can also get it and not show any symptoms. So they've tested some people and found quite a few who actually have the bacteria, but they're not
Health
sick.
Officials in Kansas are dealing with the largest documented outbreak of tuberculosis in U.S. history. There have been two deaths, along with 67 active cases. TB is one of the world's leading infectious disease killer and is spread person to person by germs that can stay in the air for hours. Kansas public health officials found dozens more have latent TB, meaning they are infected with the TB bacteria, but they do not have symptoms and cannot spread the infection to others.
The thing on the news this morning said that tuberculosis is the deadliest infectious killer, the deadliest infectious disease. It doesn't seem, anything involving your lungs and not being able to breathe, that doesn't sound good. So
no.
I looked into it. Is there a
vaccine? I don't know how you get it. I mean, I know you get it from other people, but I don't know what it is.
Well, apparently it's in Kansas.
Well, yeah, but where did the first person get it?
I don't know. I know Doc Holliday had it. I'm pretty sure that he had it.
Yeah,
I
but to him. Like I know they're like, oh, if someone breathes on you, you can get it from them. But where'd the first dude get it?
I mean,
what was he doing in Kansas?
That's like any bacteria or virus, you know. I don't know who patient zero was. We usually don't, especially if it's an ancient disease like that.
But do we know what the origin is of it?
I think it's killed people throughout history. I think it's been around a long time, but don't quote me on that if you look it up. I know it's bacterial. I know there is a vaccine for it, but it's not very effective. And it's also a really old vaccine, so it might not be effective against this one at all. The only reason I know that is because I was looking it up to see if I could call my doctor this morning, and looks like there's no use. All right, Sunken, we'll take a break.
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
All right, we're going to finish the news here just a little bit. The other day I told you about the elementary school principal who threw a kegger and cops showed up and she was drunk. And then there was a grade school teacher there with her and she was drunk. And there were some kids there who were drunk. I don't think the kids were grade school kids, but they were definitely minors and there were several of them. One of them was seen throwing up. When one of the cops walked up, I saw an update to that story, and one of the police officers said when they arrived, there was a kid that kind of stumbled out and then just started throwing up right in front of him. So that really is like something out of a movie. But today I got more for you because I got a drunk gym teacher.
Oh, nice.
I got a drunk bus driver. And, you know, which
that's
is worse?
Bad. I like the gym
I think
teacher.
The bus driver is obviously worse, right? You don't want your kids in a car with a drunk driver.
No.
That would be bad. There was a time when I was a kid where that happened more than it should have. But these days, there never was a time when it was okay for the bus driver to be drunk. That's for sure. Were your bus drivers when you were a kid? Were they really old, like retired? This was their retirement job.
Yeah, from what I remember,
mine were ancient. I did have one who sang songs. I told you, he played harmonica and sang over the PA system.
Oh, right.
I'm serious.
That's so obnoxious.
He'd play harmonica and hold that microphone. Yeah, and then he would drive with one hand. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like that.
No,
especially
we liked
in the morning.
We thought he was nice. Mr. Story was his
name. Play the harmonica in the morning.
I can't imagine. He's got to be dead by now, or he'd be 142. So I think he's probably dead by now, but I thought he was a nice guy.
The Church of Laszlo. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo. Do the news.
Yeah, the rest of the news. You downloaded that Chinese artificial intelligence app yet?
I did not.
DeepSeek, the one that's messing with all of our 401ks, they said. Well, guys over there at OpenAI, the parent company of ChatGPT, they're not happy. They're not happy one bit. They say we've been ripped off. We've been ripped off by the Chinese. We should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Their AI should have told them about it.
Let's go to war. Yeah, you think it would say, like, excuse me, Tom. I guess Sam. Someone is looking at me. They keep watching me. I can give you their GPS. No, that's fine. I'm sure it's all part of routine maintenance. When you steal from AI, do you know what that's called? When a computer learns from another computer, what they call that? Because I sure didn't.
No, I don't.
They call it distilled. So you'll hear people say distilled more than once, and that's what they're talking about.
DeepSeek, sparking concerns that the U.S. may be lagging behind China in the AI race. AI leaders here in the U.S. now allege that China may have cheated, building a competitor by tapping data from a larger model like OpenAI's in a process called distilling.
There's substantial evidence that what DeepSeek did here is they distilled the knowledge out of OpenAI's model.
An OpenAI spokesperson saying, "We are aware of and reviewing indications that DeepSeek may have inappropriately distilled our models."
Yeah, well, I saw a headline that said Sam Altman was outraged. Outraged that they stole from him. So then I clicked on it, and I couldn't see where he said that he was outraged. He said that they were looking into it, but they do think the Chinese probably stole. What do you do in a situation like that? I mean, look, Trump...
Didn't he step down?
Trump, what? Did he already step down over this?
No, he stepped down like a while ago, didn't he?
Oh, no, that lasted very briefly. You're talking about that very brief, yeah, that was the
well,
it goes
got some
into the
other stuff going on.
Microsoft stuff. I don't know if he's still, maybe he's not officially the CEO right now. You could be right. Maybe he's not. But he's certainly still the one that they talk about because every headline still says Sam Altman talking about ChatGPT, DeepSeek.
He came back a little bit.
But there was a time, if this is what you're talking about, where they removed him for like a day or two and then. Everyone else like, we want him back.
Well, I don't care.
And it doesn't matter.
No, forget.
You don't care. You don't care. And I'm not going to tell you because I promise you don't care.
Stupid.
But what do you do? Trump, like, he seems like he doesn't like China on the campaign trail, but then, like, he helped out TikTok, and that's Chinese. So, you know, what do you do if you say, hey, you stole our AI? China's known for, you know, openly stealing stuff. Like, they're like, hey, we don't really necessarily recognize your patents on things that look like this, or, you know, so we'll just make a car that looks just like a Rolls Royce and put a Rolls Royce logo on it. What are you going to do? And other countries are like, hey, you can't do that. And China's like, but we can. That's right, just it. Yeah. And you can, like, you know, punish us if you want, but that would mean that your economy is destroyed because you can't buy cheap stuff anymore. So what do you do when they steal your AI? You go to war with them?
Build a better AI?
Well, I don't. Just use their AI. That's what we're doing with TikTok. They built a better social media. What do? We use their social media. And then some Americans got so angry about it, they're like, no, no, we're going to force a sale. And then Trump's like, nah, forget it. Hmm. And you don't think there was something going on behind the scenes with the Chinese, like, talking to the Trump administration about TikTok, about, like, hey, don't do this. You know, Biden set this whole thing up. It's supposed to go into effect. Don't do it or else. Do you think they have those kind of talks? I'm sure they must. Because China was upset about it.
It's easier than that. I think people on TikTok like Trump now.
Because
I think before they didn't like him, and they sent people to his appearances, and nobody showed up, so he hated it. And then all of a sudden, now, you know, TikTok, you know, it's pro-Trumpish, and so he's like, yeah, I like it. Yeah. Don't get rid of it.
Yeah.
If you just say you like him, then you're good.
I feel like that's sort of the mentality that a lot of CEOs have taken, a lot of countries have taken. Like, hey, say nice things to him. Yeah. Be in his good graces. Let's do some sort of an event with him, like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That Stargate thing or whatever it is.
So TikTok says, you know, hopefully when Trump takes office, we'll be able to get TikTok back again. And Trump reads that. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
People love me if I get TikTok back again. It was like a simple message. People are like, why would they put that up there? Because.
Yeah.
They're smart. And they're like, if we say nice things about them, then
better things happen.
Yeah.
Then if we say bad things, or
take this away, then be like, yeah, we're taking away. It sucks. Bad platform anyway.
Yeah.
Worst social media ever. And that's exactly what happened.
There's been a lot of Trump ass kissing. That's been kind of funny to watch since he got elected. But I still think maybe the single best one is Zuckerberg. Like, as soon as the election happens, they put out that thing like, all right, we're going to get rid of the fact checking.
Yeah, of course.
And then he goes on Rogan and starts talking about how he likes to hunt elk and stuff. And felt like a big,
well, of course,
you know, hey, people like free speech. They like Trump. Like, I totally get it. And you saw it with a lot of people. And I think you have to wonder, at least, if they didn't learn from the first time around. Right? Like, look.
Yeah, of course they did.
We overthought this. If Disney had it to do over again with DeSantis in Florida, would they have said anything like about the whole don't say gay thing, that whole kerfuffle? I think if they had a time machine, they would have just gone, let's just not do it. Let's just not say anything. You know what I mean? I think companies now are more
DeSantis
likely to
DeSantis didn't have the juice Trump did.
He doesn't
at
all.
He may not do it either. That cost him a presidential.
Right. But even that, it was just like, it felt like a company going, God, this has become kind of a pain in the ass to take a stance. And do we really need to take a stance? People really care if we take a stance. We just have to give the appearance. Run some commercials that say, you know, hey, taking care of kids is important, brought to you by Disney. And people are like, that's a good company. Right? They run that stuff all the time. You go, we give this much money. Or put a little thing when I go to the grocery store that says, hey, do you want to give some money to this charity? And if you do, Disney will give a dollar too. And you're like, what a good company that Disney is. They must be a good company. And you just have these subconscious thoughts about these people.
I think they know that if they just stroke Trump's ego, they'll get what they want. Or he'll stay out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And even like that was with Elon Musk when he,
of course,
everyone said, well, you know, why would he do this? Because look at him now, baby. Look at him now. I mean, you're telling me you wouldn't? I know some of you are saying, yeah, you wouldn't. Some of you are saying, of course I would. Some of you are saying, no, you wouldn't. But I'm just saying, a man of my low character, 100%.
Yes, of course.
If Trump shows up, and I think there's an opportunity, even if it's a situation where I think Trump may not like me, may think that I don't like him, I'm still going to go into that first meeting with a, bad things. Oh, that was all a joke. I was like, no, I think you're great. Yeah. I think that's the angle.
He's not holding grudges. All you have to do is put out a tweet or put it on the front of TikTok. It says, Trump will save us. Trust me.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to go that far. If you said something bad about him, just say, I was wrong. Trump was great. Voted for him.
That's it. You can overcome it all by being like, I like the guy.
Hard.
And then that's it.
Right.
Yeah. And they just learned that this second time around, it feels like, and they're all doing that now. A nurse in Atlanta is in some trouble. As a matter of fact, I think she got arrested. But she was posting some videos, I believe on TikTok, actually, dancing, twerking. People are calling her the twerking nurse. Twerking over her patients. Now, these patients are disabled and cannot move. The faces have been blurred, and it doesn't look like they communicate, but I don't know. They blurred the faces, and in the videos that the news showed, you certainly didn't hear any voices coming from. You see her and you hear music, but you don't hear them say anything. It doesn't. They definitely don't look like they're moving. And I mean, the news said that they, most of them, like, can't move. Maybe all of them can't move. Right. So, you know, should she be in trouble for this? Is it so bad? People got upset when they saw some people got upset when they saw these videos. And she defended it and said, hey, I'm just having fun. I'm not hurting anybody. Just a little twerking. They probably like it anyway, right? And the, majority won out and said, nah, you can't do that. That's bad. You're in
trouble. You just don't do this to people. You don't.
This Atlanta area healthcare worker seen on TikTok dipping it low on her patient's forehead.
Yeah.
Patients, you can see, are living with disabilities.
This is not a laughing matter.
A breaking update. She has just been charged.
Okay, so she's the infamous TikTok nurse who filmed herself twerking on disabled. Now, one of the guys was naked, and you will see that headline. One of the men was naked. She's been slapped with felony abuse charges.
What?
Now for, Yeah, felony abuse. Let me show you the video. This is one of the. This is not all the videos. This is one of the videos, and you can see. I don't believe he says anything there.
Wait, that's over another nurse, isn't it?
Well,
oh, there we go. There's a guy in a bathtub.
Yeah, he's the naked one. Oh, they're not blurring his face on this one. Okay, well, leave it to Elon. And X doesn't blur that stuff. Yeah, what do you think of the twerking nurse there? I mean. I just could see you going either way on this because I could hear you saying, like, well, we don't know that they don't like it, but also we don't know that they do. So I guess I don't know their situation. Can they communicate at all? Are they, well, you know, it doesn't look classy. Well, I'll go so far as to say that.
I just have to assume they're not upset about it.
It doesn't look great. Like, I don't think that the hospital would say, let's put this in a commercial. Let's show the twerking nurse. This has been great publicity for us.
Some people, though.
But, you're right. Dad would love that place. I mean, I know he can't talk anymore, but we all agree that Dad would love that place, right? Should we put Dad in the place with the twerking nurse? Let's do it. I mean, would you like the twerking nurse? I personally like the twerking nurse. I'm not saying that I like what she did. I don't know. Snowcone, you've got family in the healthcare industry. You know, any idea how they might feel about twerking over disabled people?
Like,
is that something you can see your mom doing?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Can you see her approving of it?
No, I cannot.
I approve of it, I guess. I mean, I get it. She should probably get in trouble. It went on TikTok, but I'm not upset about it. She's pretty hot.
It's not like a real hospital. It's a care facility. I mean, what did they call it on the news? They called it adult daycare is what they called it.
Well, then that's certainly not a problem.
Right?
If they didn't call it a convalescent home or a...
Which it might be, but...
if they call it adult daycare,
one of the places called it an adult daycare, and I thought, adult daycare, because I really did wonder, do they go home at night? And maybe they do. Maybe people drop off their family members there during the day while they work, and they can't take care of their loved ones, and then...
Wants to bet that she's going to make about $72 million on OnlyFans starting tomorrow?
She'll make $6.99 from me. I know that.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Well... We got to talk some Chiefs today, Laszlo.
We do again?
Well, sort of.
Jesus Christ.
That's all they talk about on TV. I mean, there's only one game left.
Station, so turn something else on.
Well, let's watch Bosch. You want to watch Bosch?
Yeah.
Did you fall asleep in the middle of an episode?
No, I didn't watch it last night.
Oh. Well, I saw, because this shows, I think will show what a true sports fan Laszlo is, because... Someone put this thing out that was a thing about the Chiefs and kind of the history of the Chiefs. And I thought, you know, the difference between like a sports fan like myself, who I might be able to get this, guess these things about the Chiefs of what they would write in this article. I would never be able to guess about another team. But I think Laszlo could probably figure out what order they would put these people, who these people would be, and what order they would be in on this list that they just put out.
It's a little test for me.
Yeah, a little test for me. But real quick, I just saw this and I thought it was interesting because we were talking about Elon. If Elon spent, and this was at the time this thing was written, if Elon spent $1 million a day, a million, how long would it take him to spend his money?
Forever. I mean, forever. 327 years.
Any guesses? 610 years. $1 million a day, 610 years. Yeah, they said if the three richest guys, Bezos, Elon, and must be Gates. If the three of them liquidated and shared their wealth with us, that every American would get like $3,000. I was actually surprised. I thought it would be a little more than that. But I guess there are 300 some million people. But imagine $1 million a day, 610 years. That's why these guys want to live forever. They can afford to.
Yeah.
They don't have time to spend this money.
Well, and you don't want it to end.
Right, it's such a good life.
Life has been great.
Such a good life.
Like now, at the end, you just die like the rest of us?
I know.
That sucks.
I know. That Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary, he's talking about getting older at the end of that thing and how sad he is, and I thought, it is sad. You don't deserve to be old and dead. Yeah, people like you way more than normal people, me.
Right.
Like, I deserve at your age to be dying, not you.
Right.
You should get some sort of, he's just talking about he's old. Oh, you know, his time's running up. He's in his 70s or whatever. Like, they should give you some sort of special ability. He says, no, you're a star.
They do.
You get to stick around.
Oh, I mean, he gets better doctors.
Well, that's true. He'll live. He lives longer than he should.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Justin Tucker masturbated in massage places.
What?
What?
That's the story.
Where do you get all this masturbation news before us?
I'm telling you. He played with himself in there. He's being accused of it. He says no. He says he didn't do it.
So you're not allowed to do that.
The old Robert Kraft?
Yeah, like six different ones, I guess.
Like,
but Robert Kraft went into a place where you're allowed to do it.
That's what they were, you know.
Oh, right.
Right.
Oh, so he was doing it like
Deshaun.
Okay, more Deshaun.
Where you go in and you get a massage, but they were saying basically they made his wiener move around and, you know, kind of flicked it around until the sheet came off of him and then showed his wiener to him. And then they would leave and they'd come back and he had ejaculated.
Okay, that was kind of the kink, is that they didn't want that to happen.
Well,
they didn't want what to happen.
You're saying like the Louis C.K. thing, like watch me, then that's like a kink, and that his is like...
Yeah. Well, Robert Kraft is like, they know everyone is consenting, you know.
It's probably...
Kraft went to a whorehouse.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Justin Tucker's... That's not a kink.
Yeah.
That's just going and getting a whore.
No, Justin Tucker's kink was that they weren't necessarily consenting.
I don't know what his kink was. I didn't ask him. He just went to get a massage, and then they touched his wiener.
But it's hard not to get...
We tried to rub his wiener against their hand while they were giving him a massage.
I'm sorry, that's totally Deshaun, right? I didn't read
I think
stuff,
you
kind of
came on to him when they didn't want him to.
Yeah, I read a little bit of the stuff that he was accused of, and it seemed like that was kind of it.
Yeah,
he
kind of used a massage parlor that isn't a whorehouse, like, hey, this is a whorehouse, right? Like that.
Right.
Robert Kraft just went into a whorehouse.
Yeah, when you first said the Justin
Tucker
thing.
We got you on
thing.
Tape leaving a whorehouse. He's like, yeah. No.
I thought maybe the Tucker thing when you first said it was like he goes to a massage parlor and he just masturbates. He's, you know, if you don't ask anyone to touch it, if you're not like, hey, look at this, maybe you're even like laying on your stomach and you're, you know, whatever, then is that frowned upon? You know, I don't know. I don't get a lot of massages. And most of the places I've been, I don't think that's frowned upon. So I don't know. But if you're asking people to look at it and saying, hey, touch
it. He says the allegations in the Baltimore Banner article about me are unequivocally false.
Why wouldn't he just go to a place where they...
I've never
that sort of thing.
Received any complaints from massage therapists, have never been dismissed from massage therapy or body of work. They're saying massage places have banned him.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't want your picture up at the massage parlor place banned. There's got to be a massage parlor. If you're at some high-end spa, there's got to be another massage parlor not that far away that is the not high-end spa where you... can present yourself, where they expect you to present yourself. I know that's still illegal, but they're not going to complain about it, right? So, but maybe you're right, Snow Cone. Maybe the kink is, no, I want to do it at this high-end spa where it's forbidden, where
that's
it's not allowed. I know, I'm saying maybe that
is
his
kink.
Think
they're not saying that.
They're not saying that.
They're saying he uses wiener to remove the thing. Go in, women would touch him, he'd get an erection, and then he'd try to touch it against him. Like, you know, I don't know that he didn't go other places and have sex, too. I don't know, like... It was the only place that he did it. I don't know that it was like... I feel like it was more like Deshaun. Like, he'd hire a masseuse, they'd come in, and he'd get horny. And then he'd act inappropriately towards that.
And two spas management said they banned him from returning. That's something. For people who don't know, we're talking about Justin Tucker. If you just tuned in, we don't know if any of this stuff is true or not.
Tucker says not.
Tucker denies it.
So. And the women just give like their first initial of their name.
And I mean, you know, if this sort of thing goes to court, then
and there's been no court, I guess.
Like, is there
besides the bidding, there's been no charges filed or anything.
Okay, no charges. Well, yeah, that was my question.
Right.
So,
but he's accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by six massage therapists in the Baltimore area.
Where would you put him on the list of kickers?
The most accurate kicker of all time.
Of all time, he's number one most accurate of all time.
35 is the most accurate kicker in NFL history, converting 89.1% of his field goal attempts.
Does that
make
him... He's
the longest tenured player on the Ravens, who was part of the team's Super Bowl champion in 2012.
He's been garbage the last few years, but overall he's the most...
Does that, if you're the most accurate, does that automatically make you the greatest kicker of all time, or are there other things that need to go into play there? Like, I guess longevity of career and how good you are over the...
He's the longest and has the highest...
Yeah, so that
the longest,
sounds to me like he'd be...
He's probably one of the, you know, one of the tops, for sure.
So this is where I think Laszlo can show off his sports fandom. And just his sports knowledge in general. Growing up in Detroit, there's no reason for Laszlo to be paying any attention to Kansas City. But he did for some reason. When I met him, he knew stuff about the Royals from when I was a kid and the Chiefs. And it's just because he's a sports fan.
Yeah.
Also, he was kind of a Royals fan. Fan at one point.
You know, I liked him.
And the Tigers always
Willie
playing
Wilson,
the
Wilson. Yeah.
Yeah. You said you had a George Brett poster. Or no, a Willie Wilson poster.
Willie Wilson poster.
So I just saw
I went to a game one time and he hit an inside the park home run when I was a little kid. And I was like, oh my God. So that's why I kind of liked the Royals even when I was little.
Yeah.
I didn't have any reason to. And they were kind of, you know, I hated them when they played the Tigers.
Right.
But, like, I liked those players. And Willie Wilson hitting inside the park home run and me watching was like, what?
Yeah,
I'd never even heard that that was a thing.
Seeing it in person would have a special impact. Because I think if you're a little kid and a team is good, and there's players on that team that you like, when you're the right age, you're young enough, that means something.
Right,
that's the only reason I care about the Giants at all.
Right,
I was a little kid, and I liked LT and Phil Sims.
Yep.
So they put out this thing, the five greatest Chiefs quarterbacks of all time. The five greatest Chiefs quarterbacks of all time.
Tyler Pelka.
So... you can throw some names out there, and then we can try to jumble them around and put them in order. But it's pretty easy to guess.
Mahomes.
A couple of them.
Lynn Dawson.
At least.
Right. Dawson, Mahomes, Montana.
Trent Green.
Yeah, he's...
Todd Blackledge.
Did not make the list, nor did David Craig. Dawson, Mahomes, Montana did all make the list.
Yeah.
Green did it.
Trent Green did make the list.
Yeah, okay, so he have four. To be on it. I'm trying to think of
you need
four.
One more.
Alex Smith.
Boom.
Alex
okay.
Smith, nice.
Now, so we've got the names. Mahomes, Montana, Trent Green, Alex Smith, Lynn Dawson. Starting at number five, who would you put in fifth place on that
Alex
list?
Alex Smith.
That probably would have been my guess, too, but they put Trent Green there.
Right, then switch
played
him.
From
Smith and Green.
He played from 2001 to 2006. They were good. Good team. And we got to go watch them play in the playoffs against the Colts.
No punt game.
Yep. And that's when Laszlo punched an old lady. Or his car. Punched her car.
She deserved
intimidated
it.
Her. She was in tears. She was definitely scared. And I'm sure she went home.
Maybe
told,
she won't do that again.
Told her family.
It was a Saturn, correct?
Yes, it was a Saturn. So luckily it had those plastic panels because they kind of bounced back. I'm serious. They kind of popped back into place. They're like, well, good thing she's got that Saturn. So Trent Green, number five. Number four is Alex Smith. 2013 to 2017, they say he's the quarterback that bridged the gap. Mm-hmm. And also four straight playoffs. So very good. And they paid him a lot of money.
Well, now it just depends on it's Chiefs quarterbacks, but are they counting all of Montana's career?
Right.
No.
Because that's it.
Right. Right.
I would think. So then I would say
greatest with
Montana,
the Chiefs.
Dawson, Mahomes.
Greatest, I think they're saying, for the Chiefs in their time with the Chiefs, how important were
Montana,
they?
Montana, Dawson, Mahomes.
Yeah. Montana's number three. Back-to-back playoffs. It was brief, but boy, were those. You can only imagine, Laszlo. As a kid. I know, but imagine as a Chiefs fan. Everything that I'd seen up to that point, and then they're like, hey, and I obviously knew who Joe Montana was.
Yeah.
And when there were talks that they were going to get him, because not only did they get Joe Montana, they went and got Marcus Allen at the same time. And the way that they did that was like, Marty Schottenheimer's going to get Marcus Allen wanted out, right? Marcus Allen invented the reason for free agency. So Marty kept coming to him, and he's like, look, I know it's a lot different than where you've grown up and where you've been playing, but we're going to get Joe Montana. We're going to get Joe Montana. Mm. So that's how it happened. And, of course, the Bills stopped them in that AFC championship so that the Bills could go lose another Super Bowl. Lynn Dawson, number two, 1963 to 1975, multiple AFL championships, and of course he won Super Bowl four? Does that sound right? Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. Super Bowl four. And then number one, Chiefs quarterback of all time, Steve Bono. So you guys Elvis. Guessed it. Gerbach.
Gerbach.
Yeah. I like Elvis.
Yeah, all around the same time. You liked Elvis?
All-time favorite Chief.
Yeah? He was a Michigan guy, right?
He was. And Derek Alexander. I like both those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. They were not, I don't know.
They were good players.
Our team, the Chiefs.
Derek Alexander was a good player.
Absolutely. And the Chiefs were, in my mind, until they got really bad, I thought that they were like a good team.
Todd Collins was a Michigan guy? Lots of Michigan guys.
He was a Michigan guy. But like Steve Bono was.
Mike Dana today?
Dave Craig even had a pretty good run. Steve the Berg even had a pretty good run.
Steve the Berg didn't play in Michigan.
Oh, well, yeah, but he did play at Tampa Bay, and you love those uniforms, so I just thought that counts.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
So, a woman in the UK is in trouble. She got in a little bit of trouble. She's pleaded guilty to pursuing a course of conduct amounting to harassment.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a law that we have over here.
Sounds right.
But she's in a relationship. They break up. Her ex starts dating someone new. And it would appear that Rhiannon, does not like her ex's new girlfriend.
Okay.
His new significant other. So, I've heard of stuff like that before, right? Maybe you're going to mess with that person. Personally don't do it, as Laszlo and sure. I said earlier. Be better than that.
Yeah,
okay. Third idea, just stop. But I know people do it. I've never heard of someone doing what this woman did, though. And it is extremely childish, and I could see how over time it would get annoying. But I can't imagine that it's illegal, especially like if it's going to be illegal, I think you'd have to do it about 1,000 times.
A 25-year-old woman from North Wales who recently found herself in hot water. Rhiannon pleaded guilty to harassment after sending a series of fart videos to her boyfriend's ex-partner, Deborah Prethuk. According to prosecutors, Rhiannon sent not one, not two, but seven videos of herself breaking wind over the course of a few days. The recipient, Deborah, was understandably not amused. In a victim statement, she expressed how the videos caused her distress and anxiety and made her feel unsafe in her own home.
What?
The magistrates didn't take the case lightly. Rhiannon was ordered to complete 15 rehabilitation sessions, undergo 60 days of alcohol abstinence monitoring, and pay one...
She got in all this trouble. What did he say? Seven fart videos over the course of 3 days? That's not a ton of fart videos. Also, you felt unsafe in your own home? And, I mean, they don't show the videos, but they describe the videos.
Man.
I feel like I've seen similar videos
You probably paid for them. Well, tell us what they are.
Well, she would put the phone to her bottom, and then she...
Like, was it a bare bottom?
They don't say. But it just says that the camera is held up to her bottom, and then she... I feel like if it was her bare ass, they would have said, right?
Okay.
But they said that she puts the camera up to her bottom, and then she farts, and then in some of the videos, she puts the camera up to her bottom. It sounds like maybe she's lifting her legs up a little bit, and she farts into the camera, and she's smiling, and then she moves the camera to her face to show herself smiling. I don't know, there's something about a woman farting in a camera and smiling at me that doesn't make me feel unsafe. It doesn't make me feel...
She's farting, like, on her phone that she's going to hold to her face?
Yeah, it's a fart. They called it fart selfies.
Yeah.
And this is BBC.
I would think... You think she's unwell?
Exactly. But her lawyer says she is.
But I don't think she's going to break into my house or anything. I don't think that's next.
No.
I think there's steps before that. But I would be like, hey, this girl's unwell.
Yes. Hey, your ex has sent me seven videos of herself farting into a camera. Right.
I would just post them on Instagram.
Sure, there's a...
Post them on Instagram and be like, this is her.
Yeah.
My ex's... My boyfriend's ex-girlfriend sends me these.
Right.
I'll post them here. I would start a whole...
You start OnlyFans.
Not only that, I would start its own Instagram page.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's ex's videos. And you're going to get millions of followers.
Yeah. And maybe she'll be embarrassed. Maybe she won't. But I've seen enough of those stories over here about someone who is being harassed forever. They're being stalked. and then something bad happened, and they always say, why couldn't you knew that this person, this stalker was going to hurt this person. Why couldn't you do something? And the cops always say, because there was never any explicit threat. Yeah, he was calling a million times a day. Maybe he was cussing. Maybe he was
like
calling and hanging up.
That he got.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they say, like, but, you know, it's not any, there's no explicit threat. I cannot imagine that if those guys that you see in those documentaries don't get in trouble after months, sometimes years, of harassment and calls and leaving notes on underneath your windshield wiper, farting in a camera seven times, that's it? That's too much? I don't want to live in a world where you can't send seven fart videos over the course of 3 days without legal repercussions. Now, I understand I'm going to be judged, and I understand people might be concerned about my mental well-being, and that's reasonable. But I think it just shows, it's another example of why America is the greatest country in the world. Because
we might get in trouble here.
For seven fart videos.
I feel like
after all the stuff that these people talk about with their stalkers.
I know, and then we'd be outraged about it. But I feel like this lady wasn't famous. I feel like if somebody sent that to Miley Cyrus, I might be in trouble.
Okay. Celebrities, sending stuff to celebrities, I do feel like they get kind of special treatment. Like, hey, this guy's, because they do.
What if they send it to you? I want everyone to send them to you.
Well, I saw this
men
girl.
Men and women. I want them to just start sending you those videos.
They described the videos, and, you know, she is smiling. It's not like she's saying, I'm going to kill
him. Fast 989 on Instagram. Just DM him.
Yeah.
Pictures of you doing that. I'd love to see
them. Yeah, yeah. Well, anyhow, she suggested that she wanted to send these fart videos because she felt that her partner was being treated unfairly. Mm. I guess she thought that the new woman wasn't good enough for her partner. It was purely malicious. She was smirking throughout the videos, found it hilarious, as a matter of fact, but the victim did not. When I say woman fart video, does every guy have that same video in their memory?
I don't. No, that I don't have a video at all.
Well, you remember like the horse one that you talked about?
Yeah, I remember that one, sure.
You don't remember the cake fart one?
No.
I know we watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember her?
Mm-mm.
They acted like it was going to be the next big thing, cake farts. You don't remember that? And there was only ever just the one video. I kept coming back, refreshing.
When's the last time you went to it?
Oh, years. I knew that they weren't going to make any more after a few years. I mean, it was just the one video. You definitely saw it.
I don't remember it.
It's like if I say, hey, just imagine two girls and they've only got one cup.
Yeah.
You know that.
I know
right.
It is.
Yeah. We definitely watched that one together.
A lot.
A lot of times. You kept making us watch it in the
studio.
I
was just shocked that I got an erection.
I know. Which
it
I guess.
It was shocking to me. Like, why? What's wrong with me?
Dear God.
Why?
Why'd you
but
do
then
this
I kept
to me?
Watching it.
And that's how I felt reading the story, because when they got to the part about she held it to her bottom, she farted and she smiled in the camera.
And you got an erection?
Not necessarily, but I felt that feeling of, oh.
I'd like to see this video.
Say more. Is there a video? Yeah. I certainly didn't feel unsafe.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
I don't know what's going on in Wisconsin, but teachers are getting drunk. Bus drivers are getting drunk. Just seems to be a... You know, actually, Laszlo, like we always say, the female teachers sleeping with the male students, that all seemed like a new thing. But was it a new thing, or was it just that now we hear about it because it came out? Because social media, like, were there guys sleeping with female teachers at about the same rate when we were kids, and it just didn't make the news? Maybe the parents didn't report it. Maybe the parents were like, oh my God, you're sleeping with that woman? Don't do that. And it wasn't as big of a deal. I don't know. Now, Laszlo says not at his school because there was no one attractive. But I just mean in general, maybe it was already going on. The teachers being drunk, I know there were teachers that drank when I was a kid. I had a teacher that, I think everybody had teachers that drank. Someone on Twitch was saying that they had teachers that drank. Snow Cone said your PE teacher was a drinker.
Yeah, I think gym teachers are like they're supposed to be drunk.
And it does seem almost like a cliche. The trope in movies is that the PE teacher has got a flask.
Well, I know my freshman year in high school, the regular PE teacher was like in rehab for like the whole year. They had a substitute that was there the whole time.
Was he drinking on the job? Was he bringing alcohol to work?
Yeah, there was like a bottle in his desk.
Okay, yeah. I feel like that was happening. I mean, probably still does, but I remember teachers that I suspected were drinking, and I still suspect were probably drinking. I had a math teacher who had this cup that he kept in front of him, and it had the little lid on it. It's like an adult version of a sippy cup, yeah. And he was pouring water or something in there. It had to have been
there
vodka. No one's that thirsty.
A lot, too. Like we had teachers that were stoned.
I might not have recognized that as much. I don't know, or maybe I just didn't see teachers that got stoned.
Well, yeah, I know I had one teacher that, you know, during lunch break would go to his car and smoke.
Well,
oh yeah,
I do. Yeah, for sure. And I imagine there are a lot of teachers, or have been a lot of teachers over the years, that keep a bottle of booze somewhere in the building because you got passing period, right? When all the kids leave the room, you got a second. You run to the teacher's lounge, whatever. Run out to your car. But this happened twice in just the course of a couple days in Wisconsin, different towns, but same state. First of all, I think this one's worse. You've got a bus driver, 72 years old, who they allege was drunk while he was driving the kids home from school. Now, there's video, of course, because now there's always video, and you can hear the kids are freaking out. They said that he was driving erratically. He wasn't stopping at his stops. He just kept missing stops, and they're screaming and hollering at him, and they're upset. Their parents, even more so. He's been arrested.
What is going on?
Bus driver one apparently didn't stop at the last 8 stops, and the student screaming in the background.
We were screaming, "Stop the bus! Stop the bus! Stop the bus!" I was scared because he didn't stop at any of the first few stops, and I was scared that the other kids weren't going to get to go home.
He was just like getting mad over little stuff.
He's just getting mad over little stuff, so he's irritable, and he's not making the stops that he's supposed to be making. If you get pulled over for being drunk behind the wheel, you face a felony. I don't know how many. Like, if you get an accident, maybe it's more. But I'll tell you, if you're going to drink and drive, probably the worst place to do it would be as a school bus driver driving kids around.
I think there's going to be
28 felonies.
Right. And he got mercy.
He got charged with 28 felonies.
You're going to get stuck for all of them.
And he's 72 years old. This is probably a part-time retired
job.
There's
no person in the world who feels sorry for you.
No, because you drove kids around drunk. So you went out, and it, you know, look, I just imagine this guy retired, and now this is his part-time job.
He drinks all day, he's an alcoholic, he has a couple of pops, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
He pours some in his coffee in the morning, it's never happened.
In the morning he's sober enough, by the afternoon maybe he's too drunk, whatever. And they said, like, this could have been one of the greatest tragedies in our city's history. Mm. And that's true. I mean, the way that he was driving that thing, if he drove that bus off a cliff, he would be enemy number one.
Right.
You don't drink and drive.
Don't.
But obviously,
certainly don't be a bus driver.
Don't have kids in the car when you're drinking and driving. 28 felony charges. I don't know how many felonies they charged me with. I don't remember. I thought it was just one, though.
I thought it was driving while kids in the car.
I know. So I'm saying, I think it's like, I just didn't know if someone would be like, no, if you get popped for a DUI, it's actually, there can be like 6 or 7 felonies. I think it's just the one. You got that bus full of kids, now he's got 28 felony charges. Like you said, Lazo, they're not going to have any sympathy for him.
None.
But this next guy is the guy from that high school movie we watched on Netflix.
What was that called again? I forget.
Yeah, you're close. It's something like that. Double entendre of some sort.
Right.
Anyhow, this guy is a PE teacher. So like Snow Cone's PE teacher. He also has a kid. And the other day, he gets in the car to drive his kid to school. Apparently, after he drops his kid off, he has to continue on to the high school where he coaches PE. But he gets into an accident. Rear-ends someone in a Toyota Camry. I guess the PE teacher drives a Jeep. Rear-ends someone driving this Camry. Exchanges information in the sense he's like, here's a picture of my ID, but he tells the guy in the Camry, but I gotta go, man. I can't wait for the cops because I gotta get to school. So he's not trying to hide who he is.
Right.
He just genuinely wants to get to school on time. I don't know how, but somehow word got back to the superintendent or the principal of that school, and they informed the resource officer, because I forget that every school has a resource officer now, right? So they inform the resource officer and they say, hey, we think that this guy was in an accident and we think maybe he's been drinking. We're not sure. Because he gets in that accident and drives straight to work to start coaching PE.
Yeah, let's go, boy.
I'm here. Let's do it. And when the cops show up, they see his car and they said it was heavily damaged.
Right.
They said the front end of his Jeep was heavily damaged. They made it sound like getting to school was about as far as it was going. He was lucky to get that far. And this is where I start to kind of feel bad for the guy. Now, he did have a kid in the car, which there's no excuse for that.
Right.
There's no excuse for drinking and driving. But when they observe this guy, he's got the signs that he's drunk, the glossy eyes, they said. Mm-hmm. He's maybe slurring his speech a little bit. But when they go to do the BAC on him, this guy comes back at a 0.4.
Ooh.
So, look, if you're not a heavy drinker, if I tried to get you to a 0.4 right now, it would kill you if you're not a heavy drinker. It would, you would die from alcohol poisoning. So to have a 0.4 and to be awake,
and to be
that means this guy drinks
a lot.
A lot.
Severe alcoholic.
Every day, probably.
A lot.
As much as he can. And I for some reason, I feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for the bus driver, even though the bus driver is just a drunk.
These stories, and maybe this is the one where, you know, he goes to jail for a little bit and goes to rehab, and maybe this is good for him. And a lot of times I would say getting arrested is not good. But if you're still driving around with a .4, then maybe some forced clean time, and then hopefully they follow that up with forcing him to go to rehab. My thing is, like, they just send you to jail and send you back out. That didn't do any good. Like, I get it. Part of the jail is supposed to be punitive. Like, you're being punished, and okay, I'm fine with that. But then, you know, we should follow up and try to get the guy better.
Yeah, I mean, he will, I guess, not have access to alcohol in prison, so he might sober up.
Well, as I'm saying, so you got, you know, if you go for 6 months or a year, so whatever, you sober up. But then after that, there has to be follow-up. Like, and it's not just, you know, P-test with your probation officer. That's not going to work. They need to send him to rehab. And they should probably cut some of that time in jail off. I'm not saying you shouldn't do any jail time, but cut some of that time off and send him to rehab.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this guy's 52 years old, and he's operating. I know he's not operating well because he got in an accident, but let's just think about how many days he's driven to school and not gotten into an accident. We can assume it's been a lot. And at a 0.4, his health is in serious trouble. And now, you know, he's... I understand why he's in trouble, as he should be, but he's facing 8 years...
My question is, you think he drank more when he got to school?
I think... I wouldn't be surprised if he's still drinking.
Like, I don't know.
Like, damn it, I hit that car.
Right, yeah, so he gets there and he drinks more. So.
Yeah, yeah. But he faces 8 years in prison for this. It's a $30,000 signature bond that they set for him, but he's facing 8 years in prison. The way that this thing read, it said...
Why 8 years?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. It says OWI, operating while intoxicated. But it just says, 52, he was charged in circuit court with OWI. And then it says, parenthetical here, third with passenger under 16 years old. Are you saying this is the third time he's been charged with doing this with the child in the car?
Well, it doesn't matter, even if it was just third with child, so that's probably worth it. But it's just third DUI, and even no matter how, it sounds to me like it's third.
That's what they're saying.
But not all three of them were. It's third, and this one is with a child.
But it definitely means it's his third DUI, right?
So
and then it says,
state?
And Wisconsin, and OWI with injury, and it says two plus, I guess, how many people are injured. So... if convicted of that, he faces 8 years in prison. I have a buddy who I obviously won't name, but he passed out at work one day. And I got a call that he was in the hospital. They couldn't get... he passed out at work. His coworkers couldn't get him to wake up. And I got a call that he was in the hospital. I'm like, what's going on? When he got to the hospital, they, you know, run tests on him. They took blood, and his BAC was like a 0.63.
What?
Which I didn't know that was humanly possible.
You're dead.
So I told the person who's telling me this, that's not possible.
Right.
There's no way. You got that information wrong. And like, no, you can. He's been drinking without people knowing all day, every day, for years. We knew he drank, but we didn't know that he was drinking like that. And if you do that long enough, you can get your BAC that high and still be awake. I had no idea that was possible until then. And then I started seeing stories of people who actually had BACs even slightly higher than that. I thought by 0.3 or 4, you're asleep. And for a normal person, you're not awake at 0.3.
Yeah, I've always thought 0.4 is close to poisoning, close to death.
For plenty of people, a 0.25 is, you know, you're out and you could be
sick. I had a friend that technically died. Her heart stopped. And she had like a 0.42.
Yeah. I guess I always think of the limit as like 0.3. 0.3 for the normal person, that's you're playing with fire.
Yeah.
And if someone says they got to a 0.4, then I think, well, are they alive?
0.4 is like you're getting close.
Yeah, and you don't even hear it that often. So, but I think because my buddy, because what happened to my buddy, that's the only reason when I read this story, that when I saw 0.4, I knew, oh, over time, if you keep drinking, you can start to build this tolerance, and,
yeah,
and
well,
you can
we knew get that, but I've never heard 0.64.
I didn't know that. I'm saying I didn't even know that you could. I understand the idea of a tolerance, but I guess I thought that once your blood had a certain percentage of alcohol in it, you would pass out.
Listen to this.
You know?
The highest blood alcohol content ever recorded on a person who survived was 1.374.
Wow.
Set in 2013 by a Polish man.
Wow. Yeah, I just thought that even if you build 1%. A tolerance, your body still has a similar limit to everyone else's when it comes to shutting your brain down. If the blood going to your brain has whatever percentage of alcohol it says, good night. I thought that was just kind of a rule, you
right,
know?
Right.
I didn't know that you could build that sort of tolerance. So,
oh, man.
Yeah. I feel bad for the guy. What do you think everyone's BAC is in here right now? What do you think's got the highest BAC in here right now? Do you think there's someone in this building that...
has a higher BAC than me? No.
Yeah. No? You don't think there's someone they could find out tomorrow? Like, yeah,
it's got a higher BAC right now than me?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'd be shocked.
You're probably right.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
So, I know you've made fun of me in the past for the school lunch thing. You think I was on the free lunch program, which I wasn't.
You were.
I was not. My
That's
dad
okay.
wrote it. I know it is, but I just wasn't on one. My dad wrote a check once a week, and I took it to school, and they put it in my account. The reason you get confused is because sometimes they'd have a specialty thing, like once a month, like Charlie's Pizza, and that was an extra $1.20. Well, I would forget to bring extra money. So, yeah, I might not always get the Charlie's Pizza. If I remembered we were doing it, then I would get the extra $1.20, you know, go clean some gutters or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I was getting free lunches. My dad paid. And trust me. He complained about it.
I'm telling you, when that lunch thing came in, I was like, I thought we were paying that for child support. Then we weren't. And that first thing I thought was, man, are my kids going through the thing getting a free lunch?
Right, because it could be
different. Because of all these years of busting your balls while getting a free lunch, now my kids are in there getting a free lunch.
They don't deserve that karma. You do.
Right, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, take all my, put on my car, whatever it is, buy the whole school their lunch.
Right.
Stop this.
Well, so we had those things in elementary school with the accounts, but by junior high, high school, I'm pretty sure it was all cash. You know, you had like the pasta bar, and you had French fries. Lunch got so much better. I miss cafeterias, man. But you paid in cash. And so I always had cash, and that's how I paid for lunches. And you've made fun of me for this, too, but I did use my own money to pay for lunches. But I also felt like I spent a lot of money on my lunches, so it wouldn't have been fair to ask my parents, like, hey, give me this much money because I'm going to eat this much food, this much pasta, and then I'm also going to have a cherry pie and cookies and all this stuff. So I just paid for it. And it sounds like I was ahead of my time because this guy is making the news. This congressman from Georgia. You may have seen this.
Seen him.
Well, you do watch a lot of CNN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Representative Rich McCormick.
Well, I love Rich
Heard
McCormick.
Heard of this guy?
Yeah.
He's a pretty right-wing guy. So if you're a right-leaning person, you might like this guy. All the typical things that you would think, you know, associate with someone who's pretty far right, that's this guy. So, but now he's taking some heat for some comments that he made during an interview on CNN the other day. They're talking about the school lunch programs, right?
Yeah.
There's been all these debates in the states about school lunches and providing them for free for kids who can't afford them and maybe doing school breakfast, that sort of thing. And a lot of people are against it because they don't want the government spending more money. Other people are like, how can you not want to feed the kids, right?
Sure.
So it's just back and forth. So the anchor on CNN, she asked him, hey, how do you feel about the school lunches? You know, some of these kids are hungry. Should the school district be helping them out? And this was
when you talk about school lunches. Hey, I worked my way through high school. I don't know about you, but I worked since I was before I was even 13 years old. I was picking berries in the field before we had child labor laws that precluded that. I was a paper boy. And when I was in high school, I worked my entire way through. You're telling me that kids who stay at home instead of going to work at Burger King, McDonald's during the summer should stay at home and get their free lunch instead of going to work?
Yeah.
Pay for your own lunches.
I was a paper boy, too.
Get a job and pay for your lunches. You know? And this guy's taking a bunch of heat for this? Get
Here's
a job.
The thing. I'll go
pay
with you, Senator Dickface.
Here's
McCormick. The thing.
He said it's McCormick.
Here's the thing. Fine. And then school's not mandatory. You are making kids go to that school, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, and yet you won't provide them with the necessities that they need while at that school. Then let's just say school is, they can go get jobs. And if they go get jobs and they want to go work at those places that you suggested, then why do they need to go to your school?
My school actually sort of had that. It was the work release program. If you had a job, you only had to go to school for like
an hour. I'm saying they don't have to go at all.
Yeah.
Go make them a school mandatory then.
Yeah.
Let's just get them right to work.
Yeah. He says that...
Yeah, then why if I got to go work, why do I got to go to your school?
Right. You're getting me... And
you can't do both. You can't make me work and go to school.
He says right here, he suggested that children who participate in school lunch programs should focus on their future rather than how they can sponge off the government when they don't need to. So then he proposes that they should work during the summer to pay for their meals. Talking about how he picked berries as a six-year-old or whatever. Mm-hmm. Listen, that's what you're saying. When he says that they should focus on their future rather than how they can sponge off the government, then I guess he's saying...
Right.
Start practicing flipping burgers.
13 or 14, if you're like, hey, I don't like school, then just go do a job.
I also got the impression that he is not a fan of child labor laws. Did you get that impression?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, before those were a thing.
Yeah.
I had a job, and they made that wrong or whatever. I don't know how old you have to be to get a job now. I know when I was a kid,
14,
it was 14.
It was certain jobs.
It was 14
so
and a half.
I could be like, I remember I could be a paper boy before that.
Yeah, that was his job.
They kind of just put things in there, and they're like, well, who the hell's going to ride their bike around at 16 and drop off papers? They're like, nobody. They're like, all right, let 12-year-olds do it.
Yeah,
right?
And a lot of people did it.
I would ride my bike up every morning before school to this little tiny shack and pack in, like, you know, 150 papers, then drive them around to people's houses.
That was the job for people, for kids who were young.
Mm-hmm.
And there may have been others. I've heard people say, like, oh, you were allowed to water flowers. Okay, I don't know. But the paperboy thing, that was the job. When the paperboy thing, other than that, if you wanted to get a job somewhere else, at least when I was at that age, most of the places said you had to be 14.
Yeah, I think the only ones we could do were paperboy and caddies.
You know what? My friends were all caddies.
Yeah, you could carry around people's
and
golf
clubs. And
they
were clubs. Under 14. They were caddies like Derek Thomas and stuff. Yeah. They would always talk about it at school. They probably
just had to go, like... show that you could carry a bag around.
I totally forgot.
Like, little dudes couldn't do it. But if you were a bigger 12, 13-year-old...
And if you lived close to a golf course, which my friends all lived next to this golf course, so they would all caddy. Yeah. They were definitely younger than 14. But I got a job at 14, but there was only certain things you could do. Like, even at 14, maybe you could be a sack groceries at the grocery store. I worked at the library for my first job.
Right.
But there were things you couldn't do. Like, you couldn't work in restaurants... most of the time.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I remember having to lie about my age to wash dishes at the restaurant. The owner told me to. He's like, wait a second. Because I was walking home one night, and he's like, where's your car? I was like, I'm not old enough to drive. And he's like, oh, geez. He's like, you got to tell people you're 16. I was like, yeah, that's fine. But I'm just letting you know that I did get a job, and I did start working. And I would work multiple jobs basically at all times. I've worked ever since. I don't think I'm necessarily a better person for it. I think I may have missed out on some stuff.
Yeah, of course.
I think I may have missed out on some opportunities, and it may have limited my options in life. That's all. I'm not saying that I had a bad life. I'm not complaining.
Also, I don't want to get too crazy with everybody, but, man, you live in a neighborhood, right? Your kids go to that school. I guess if it's a private school, then maybe things can change with lunches and everything, right?
Yeah.
But you go to a public school, you live in a neighborhood, in a community. Now, one, if you want to be altruistic about it, then you hope that school teaches those kids and the community becomes better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the people who live around you become educated and good kids, and you're a good parent, and the teachers are good teachers, and then boom, like, this is how it's supposed to work. But you know what? Forget all that. Who cares, right? Take that even out of it.
Okay.
And just say, where are my taxes going to?
Right.
Give the kid a sandwich. Because I don't know what you spend them on, but I guarantee you it's not important than feeding my next door neighbor's kid. Give him a sandwich or cut my taxes. Period. What is the sales tax going to? What is my property tax? The tax on my car? You tax me every goddamn second, and then you say, we're the government, the freeloading government
the richest
that takes
in the world.
My money all the goddamn time, can't disperse a little bit back to that to a 12-year-old kid to give them f***ing walking tacos or whatever they eat? You kidding me? But
we got to have flyovers at the game. You want to lose that? You want to lose that
stuff? Whatever, man. Just, like, use my money for that.
You'd rather have it for the lunches.
Yeah, use that instead of a tank.
You'd rather feed hungry kids.
How about that? Well, I don't mind you having the tank, but feed the kids first, then get the tank.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you may not be alone in that. I don't know if anyone else has proposed something like this, but it's radical. It's definitely radical. I do like the flyovers,
I know.
I do like the extra, I like when Bush created Homeland Security. I like more. more of those things, more departments and Patriot Acts and all that. That stuff costs money. I like having lots of stuff.
Right.
And I just don't know if we can have all that stuff
so
and also pay for lunches.
School lunches forever. Why did Reagan was like, what are we talking about? Ketchup is a vegetable. Like,
but, okay, when they talk about welfare and people being lazy, you know, and people who are against that stuff say, hey, and I'm not saying which side I'm on, but they say, hey, you know what, this is, it incentivizes people to stay home and all that. I can hear your argument when you're talking about adults. You're talking about kids eating lunches?
Right.
And you're like, oh, this incentivizes them to do nothing? No, they're just eating lunch.
Right.
That's it.
At school.
At school.
Where they're doing something.
Right. Where they're supposed to be.
Right.
You want them at school, don't you?
And you're calling that kid a freeloader? Well, you're making six figures off of my back.
Yeah.
You're the one getting the government paycheck.
You're right. He said he wants a top-down review. Let's start with that.
No, let's start with you. You're making way too much money, Senator. What I call him?
I think you pronounced it dickhead.
Oh, okay.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Yo.
We done?
That's it, man. We're all done. What are you doing tonight?
Chacho's baseball practice.
Well, what about Bosch?
Well, I mean, I'll do it after they go to bed.
What is your obsession with him watching Bosch?
He's, man, because he is plowing through this series. He's doing
it.
I'm proud
every single day.
I'm proud of him, man. I need, you know that feeling, Sokin? You find an old series. Game of Thrones, you didn't start watching that until it was basically over. Do you remember that feeling of just plowing through that, having episode after episode?
Right.
That becomes a you live in that world for those few days, however long it takes. And if he's got 8 seasons, it's like 2 weeks.
Okay,
Laszlo's living
so
in a Bosch world. Well, he's my friend. I'm interested in what he's doing outside of work. And I think outside of work,
every day.
Living in Bosch world. Well, what's he doing tonight? I guarantee he's going to watch some Bosch.
Okay.
That's the one thing I know that he will do.
Okay. I will watch a little Bosch.
Yeah.
I will.
Yes. I know that Snow Cone will drink White Claws.
You still drinking too much?
No. I'll drink some White Claws. I want to finish that SNL thing. That was good.
I'm asking you to drink.
I should watch that.
You're still pounding 12 White Claws a night?
Yeah. You know, I've cut back a little bit. Not quite 12, maybe 10.
What? How many did you have last night?
10.
And what kind? A red raspberry? What's it called?
Black cherry.
Black cherry. Black cherry.
You're still in your mom's basement?
Mm-hmm.
You hide the cans?
No.
Oh, you just throw the cans in recycling?
I recycle them, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't know if you like hid
what
them.
What does your mom see? 8, 10, 12... White Claws every morning.
In the recycling. That's why I asked if you hide. Yeah. I used to hide cans sometimes. I'd bury them in the
recycling.
Well,
you don't want her to walk by and be like, Jesus Christ, there's 80 of these things.
No, she's never said anything. So.
I used to crush them and hide them at the bottom.
Did you ever mention it?
No.
Are they out in the open to see?
I mean, I put them in the recycling in the garage.
Oh, like in the big can.
In the big green container.
Oh, mine's different. I have like a big blue thing that everyone can see. It's like off the kitchen.
That's right, and then you take it to the big thing.
So when I would drink 30 stones a night, sometimes I'd just put them in a trash bag and put the trash bag in the basement. About once a month, I'd go down and be like, I got some stuff, some trash from the basement. It was just 1,000 empty beer cans, you know. That's why I asked. Because, you know, you throw a couple in there because they know you're drinking. But they don't know you're drinking 600 a month or whatever I was drinking. So I just, you know, carry some out, throw them in the truck, and take them to work. That's all. So you'll have some tonight. Laszlo watch Bosch. These are things that
we're
doing.
What are you
gonna do? I'm gonna go visit my mom in the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, good show, Slim's mom. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.